My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, shout out to Sean Pendergast, too, and the antibodies and everything. But let's do our barrel check-in, daily barrel check-in on In the Loop. How is everybody feeling 72 hours plus from the damage done?
It only feels like 172 hours. I promise I won't go off like I did yesterday morning. But there
this
are
is
things,
just a check-in. We're doing a check-in In the Loop and the loopholes. How you doing?
Yeah, there are things to get off the chest a little bit. Hopefully everybody is doing well. I finally got my yard all spick and span, man. I got the Be Someone sign up.
Saw that.
Yeah, we made that about a year and a half ago or so, and it was about 60 feet away under a bunch of limbs and stuff. But got it cleaned up back in the backyard. We are good at my house. I have one son in Kingwood. Man, Kingwood, what is going on up there? Because it looks like nothing has, like no one has... Like the borders are closed or something in Kingwood. Like, because he was sending me pictures. I said, that looks the same as it did Monday morning. It's crazy, some of the areas. So shout out. Let us know, 713-572-4610. Like, I know our Kingwood people, our listeners over there, are, they got to be frustrated. You know, they have to be frustrated.
And it's odd to me how Kingwood always seems to be on the business end of these kind of things. Like, whenever there is some sort of damage or some type of natural disaster, mm-hmm. let's call it a weather event.
Yeah.
It always seems like Kingwood, for one of our nicer areas,
yeah,
like on the outskirts of town, it's weird how they are always on the business side of these things. I don't get that. For as nice as Kingwood is,
yeah,
they seem to get the brunt of a lot of this.
You are absolutely right. Still no power up there for them and my son, and still a lot of debris everywhere, still trees down. It's crazy. Come on, John Whitmire. By the way,
dude, we will definitely get to John Whitmire.
By the way,
grumpy ass John Whitmire, the mayor of Houston. We will talk about him a little bit later.
We'll talk about him later.
He ain't throwing out the first pitch no time soon.
I don't think so.
But for now, I'll just say this. Tell me you don't want to win another election without telling me you don't want to win another election. I'll just say that.
Or definitely don't care.
My man don't like sports.
Yeah. Or at least he is relying on the non-sports part of the electorate.
I see what you did there, Reliant. I get it. I get it. It's not no center point. A couple of other thoughts, and then I want to see what you guys, your barrel update is, and obviously our listeners as well. As I mentioned, 713-572-4610. So we all saw, I'm sure, that graffiti that is the new graffiti that is up underneath the bridge.
Center pointless.
That whoever did that,
that
kudos
is
to you.
So good.
Free beers on me, man. Whoever did that. And then I saw this, and this is the last thing I'll say.
So underrated graffiti town, by the way. Just side note.
Terrific.
Underrated artful place. This town.
If it's artful. Center Point. I saw this. You know, with all the grief they're taking, justifiably so, because they are completely incompetent. We saw that. We talked about that yesterday. Somebody mentioned that last year, their profits, not what they brought in, their profits, $6 billion. $6 billion. Throw a bill at the infra. Just $1 billion. Just see what it does. Just throw one of those $6 billion. Just throw one.
So all of that money can't buy you better planning.
Yeah,
can't buy you better preparation for
Just give us $1 billion and see what it does to preparedness here. How about you guys?
They say it's still 1 million people without power as of this morning, as of around 6 o'clock this morning. Still 1 million plus without power. One of the updates was that it could be up to Monday, so that'd be a whole week from the storm, from the hurricane. So that's not good. I do not have power at my place.
Still.
I still do not have power at my place. So obviously, ain't nobody. We not staying there, you know. So we have been piecing it together.
I'm not gonna be here.
No, straight up Magic Johnson on that. We are not going to be there. So I've been checking on it every night, going down there and seeing how everything looks. I did rent a new place that I just have not moved into yet.
That's crazy.
That place has power. So imagine me. We could talk about this later in confessions, but imagine me having a place that I just haven't actually moved into yet.
Yeah.
But I've made a down payment on, and I drive by to check on it to see how it's doing.
You, man.
Hey, but look though, I can't get in there. It's mine, but it ain't. I got a key, or it's mine. I've paid, but I don't have a key.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what would be good?
Yeah, a key
so I can take my family in there, man.
A key would be good.
It is very odd. And this place is only about a mile and a half away from where I live now.
Yeah.
And where I don't have power. So that is a little bit of a conflict, but I have been able to piece it together, staying at other places.
Yeah.
So
Figgy?
Yeah. So my light's still on, although I did have a scare. So yesterday I got home around 6. No, I got home around 7. I got home, pulled up, and you know how you guys, when you pull up after a long day of work, you just sit in the driveway for a little bit and just kind of...
Yep.
Yeah, decompress.
Yeah, decompress.
So as I was walking up the stairs, the lights went out.
Oh, no.
The lights went out.
So
you had power back and then they went out?
It went out. So everybody around my apartment complex, what the bleep? This is some bull bleep.
Yeah.
And so it stayed out for about 20 minutes.
That's a good scare, though.
It was a great scare. I was, man, my wife started crying. We were sitting there trying to figure out what to do. I'm like, man, we can't keep going through this.
Yeah. What is more torturous, to not
get your
lights at all, or to get them back?
That when Figgy went through,
that's worse.
That's worse.
Dude, it was a long day yesterday. And I got home. I couldn't wait to get in the house, man. Yeah. To just feel some normalcy.
Yeah.
And for the lights to go out as I'm going up the stairs.
Oh.
I could have stayed at work for this.
Who did you tick off?
Oh, man. But everything cool so far.
So 713-572-4610. Getting some very interesting and intriguing texts here from our listeners. And this is one that we never mentioned yesterday and didn't mention the day before. From the 346, keep nursing homes in your thoughts and prayers. I am an officer, and I've gone to 3 deaths at nursing homes today.
Nursing homes, group homes.
Yep.
So I did read a story in the Chronicle about nursing homes, senior centers, places where seniors live, basically senior living.
Yeah.
And how they have been exposed to the heat, and like in some places, or in some cases, I should say, abandoned.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a lot of family, or their family's out of town, or whatever it is, and they're kind of just like forgotten.
That
is one of the saddest stories that I don't think I thought about until I actually read that story either early this morning or last night.
It's crazy. It's why Center Point, just throw us $1 billion, see what it does. A couple more real quick from our listeners. I like the short and sweet ones. Spring is still bleeped. Okay. OG, I'm in your old hood near Atascocita. This bleep is ridiculous. People starting to throw out the bleeps, man. Kingwood looks like a war zone. We always get it the worst. The poles are literally almost laying down on the street. Not a single person has come by. Come on, man.
So coming into the studio, I committed one of the don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
I committed one of the don't be that guy crimes. Mm-hmm. And it's actually one of mine and not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when I told y'all I don't like the indecisive guy?
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who's not exactly sure of whether it's his turn or if it's time to move. Well, I feel like I might have been that guy, and maybe I wasn't.
Yeah.
But coming in, I thought it wasn't my turn, but the guy next to me, closest to the oncoming traffic, mm-hmm. thought it was our turn, and yeah. he went.
Yeah.
I didn't go with him.
Oh, no.
Everybody behind me is honking.
No, that's an unspoken rule. Like, if somebody has got you blindside,
yeah,
so to speak.
You go with them.
You go ahead and yeah, run.
And I couldn't decide at yeah, that moment yeah. if I wanted to do that because I knew it wasn't our turn.
Yeah.
He was skipping the line and I didn't.
He was running
interference.
See, you should have went with him.
I know, I should have. Yeah. I should have, but yeah. I was indecisive and I was exactly the guy that
he
I don't want to be.
He slipped the screen, man.
Yeah.
Once he slips the screen, you got to just go.
Yeah, no, he was running yeah. interference. I should have took the.
The best is when the 18-wheeler is going through. And so that's on the other side. It's like three or four cars going through with that 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
Because it's so
yeah.
long.
Yeah. No, I don't. Like, normally I would do that. Yeah. And in the moment, I'm thinking about. Yeah, I choked. I choked.
That's like
came up short.
That's like going through a yellow light, and it's like three or four cars just going. You just got to go right behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I am more inclined to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why I did not perform in this moment.
Oh, well.
But I was the guy that I don't want to be. When these flashing lights are up.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. But, hey, good to hear everybody's doing good, man. Even with me not having power. It's just a little bit of a tease, man, knowing that you're moving into a house pretty soon and you just don't have the key
yet.
That's
frustrating.
I've been talking to the leasing agent about trying to figure that out, but I have not had any luck. That'll probably come up later on in the show for sure. Let me ask y'all this.
Yeah.
Did it offend y'all at all? That the Astros were playing baseball last night?
Come on, man.
Were you offended that the Astros dared to go out there and play baseball last night?
Okay, so this isn't to compare and contrast mayors as much as opinions.
The Astros are playing baseball.
As much as logic. As much as, sensitivity to all. But in 2017... the Astros were the respite, and you've brought up, I think accurately, it's the Marlins and people who have a lot of things, so I don't know how I'm going to feel about it, but for those who do want to get away, and oh, by the way, even though they don't turn thermostat down enough, it is cooler in Minute Maid Park, $5, just go, was it $2 hot dogs, whatever it was, just go, and for Whitmire to seemed like legitimately offended or put out. Hey, we don't have power at NRG. I mean, excuse me.
He said the George R. Brown.
George R. Brown, yeah.
Which I am questioning now. I haven't been down there. Okay, yeah. I don't know what the George R. Brown's got.
Yeah.
But from what I'm seeing online, the George R. Brown did have power.
Yeah.
So that there is some conflict there on even the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
So if you hadn't heard, Houston Mayor Whitmire, John Whitmire, is throwing veiled shots at
not so thinly veiled
shots at the Houston Astros for playing baseball at a time like this,
yeah,
when others don't have power. And when I brought it up earlier in the week, I was just bringing it up as a point, not necessarily to complain about it, mm-hmm. because I just thought it was a sort of an interesting contrast. But I don't blame them for going out there and handling business if in fact it was safe to do so, and like you said, providing the respite. I could have seen maybe criticizing them if they didn't do the price change, if they mm-hmm. didn't do the $5 tickets and the specials on the hot dogs and all of that, and try to make it like exactly what you just said, an outlet for people, a place for people to go. And I did minimize the importance of the game,
mm-hmm.
but maybe it's important to you in a moment like this to be able to get away.
Exactly. It's all your own choice.
You ain't got power. Yeah. You can't go to work because of the power situation or the damage that's been done. And maybe you just need something to do, someplace to go. And they've made it affordable to do so.
Yeah.
I was a little bit surprised that there was some you know, a little bit of smoke for that.
It was a little weird too, because like sports is an escape, man. Like all the stuff that be going on in real life, people turn to sports to get away from that.
Always.
And so this, I mean, unless you was really in a situation where you couldn't go anywhere, this is the perfect time to go to a game.
Yes.
Because it's like, all right, like life is life. And right now, hey, we got some affordable tickets, affordable hot dogs, I want to say.
And the opportunity at that price.
Let's
this is,
go.
This is the part that bothered me the most about what Whitmire said. There are people who, you know, whether you have power or not, but preferably, not preferably, but especially for those who don't have power, who maybe have never been to an Astros game. So you get to cool off, take your kids to an Astros game. They get to see these folks, these players live and in person, and they cool off. How is that a bad thing?
And even aside from it, though, he was trying to make a point about getting your priorities straight.
Yeah.
You want to talk about having
your damn priorities.
Yeah, you want to talk about having your priorities straight. Yeah. How off-putting is it for us to be making points and talking about the Astros, who have at least done the service of lowering prices and trying to make it inviting for people who can get there.
Yeah.
You sitting up here and got all of these people without power. I know that's not exactly your fault or your issue, but you are overseeing a city that is under disaster, and you taking shots at the baseball team.
And for lowering the prices.
But we want to talk about priorities, though. That was kind of, I don't know.
The Astros could have easily rose the prices and kept the prices the same to try to make a buck or something like that, but they clearly wasn't.
Yeah, and by the way, what organization, corporation, entity in this city has done more for Houstonians than the Astros the last 7 years, especially after disaster?
Yeah, at a time like this.
Yeah.
At a time like
this.
No one.
Certainly not CenterPoint.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Who's CenterPoint list, you mean?
Yeah, CenterPointless.
We will now be referring to them as CenterPointless.
Yes.
As it was coined in graffiti. Where was that at again?
It was under an underpass. Yeah. I'm sure our listeners.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Yeah. Once I find it, I'm going to definitely have to check that out.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
But the Astros did take care of business last night.
Yeah.
9-1. Light work of the Miami Marlins. I do enjoy, Lopez, how the last few weeks or so we've been able to come in here around midweek, no, today's Thursday, but around the middle of the week, and talk about them handling business against teams that I am so glad have been on their schedule. You remember the White Sox?
Yep.
And then we talked about the Rockies a little bit later being even worse than that somehow. Like, somehow you're worse than the worst. And then the Marlins, they got some bad news bears in them as well.
Yeah, go ahead and get the sweep, man. Go ahead and get it done.
Get the brooms out.
Yeah, get the brooms out. Taking care of business seems like a given, but it's not, as we all know, because the Astros this year have lost to teams that they had no business losing to. So I think just the taking care of business part is showing a little something, especially when you consider they're beating these bad teams, which you're supposed to do and isn't always as easy as you might think. But they're doing it with a depleted pitching staff, with a, you know, a roster of kind of makeshift roster here and there. And also with everything going on around this city.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, just specific to last night's game, watching Framber Valdez be exactly what we expect him to be. And I know it's against the Marlins. I know that they are. And I guess, you know what last night was? It was a nod to lefties, to left-handed pitching.
Yep.
To Joey Loperfido in his second career home run. He also mentioned, I didn't think about this until he talked about it after the game, but this was kind of cool. Both of his home runs have come on nights when he was without power and had to stay with one of the pitchers.
That's badass.
So the last time, back in May when it happened, he didn't have power and he had to stay with Spencer Arrighetti. This time it happens. He doesn't have power, apparently, and he's staying with Hunter Brown. So showing power when he doesn't have power, I guess, is pretty cool. But shout out to left-handers, and specifically Framber Valdez, getting back to the ground ball pitcher ways and being something that I didn't feel like he was in his last outing, where I didn't feel like he was, even though they're surviving it. Reliable. He felt reliable, even though it was against a team that is as bad as the Marlins are overall, and specifically against left-handed pitching.
And that's another aspect of this that Whitmire and others who would be criticizing this don't get. These players are in the same boat as we are, a lot of them. They don't have power. They have to use generators. I get that it's a different amount. It's a different culture, different style that they have. More resources, all that stuff. But they still, like I was texting with Gerard the other day, they still don't have power. He's got a generator going, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and these Astros players without power, they have to, they are doing things to go to work just like everybody else.
Yeah. It those are two tangible examples of, two that I'm talking about that we've talked about on the show. Mm-hmm. Titus Howard, who we saw having to dig his big ass truck out of a ditch yesterday. Or maybe it was the day before, and now hearing from Joey Loperfido post game that he's hitting his home run in the midst of him not having power. That's John Lopez. I'm B. Scott with Figgy Fig on In the Loop. Coming up next, we are now officially less than a week away.
How about that?
From us broadcasting live outside of Texans training camp. We got training camp thoughts. That's next on In the Loop.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston. Let's get in the loop.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
You know what I'm bringing today. You know what I'm bringing today. Let's go.
Go to work.
Let's go.
Hey, Sam.
Sports Radio 16.
We are officially less than a week away from Texans training camp, right up the street down there on Kirby. At NRG Stadium or across from NRG Stadium, the practice facility. And fellas,
hope they have power.
I think by
then.
If they don't have power? What would they do?
We're giving them an 8 to 10 day start.
Yeah.
So you would think they would.
You would think.
And you know what?
Yeah.
That'd be another controversy. Yeah. Let's make that an in sports controversy. We can get our Whitmire on and be like, how do the Astros have power in playing baseball and the Texans can't do their training camp thing? Like, right?
I'm sure you'd be happy about that.
Hey, by the way, let me give you, before we get into this, a quick confession that's related to that, because I was just talking about it during the break. Need to bring it to everyone.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I followed at Centerpoint on Twitter just so I could read the comments. It's so funny.
Just so you can watch them get drugged.
It's incredibly sad, but it's also very funny. They tweeted a little while ago, we reached our goal of restoring 1 million customers. We expect to have an additional 400,000. 1,000 customers by Friday, additional 400,000 by Sunday. By Sunday, the comments are like, one of them, the first one I saw was, we have a legal, from a lawyer, obviously, we have a legal term for that, complete horse bleep. Someone else said, dude, bro, and he said, bro, you're celebrating first downs and you're down five touchdowns.
Bro, we're at the point where
Chris
we're calling.
Chris Paul hit a three to cut the lead to 42. Yes.
I just love we're at the point where we're calling center point bro.
Bro.
Bro, my guy. We're broing in my guy in center point.
I'm just here for the, like you said, for them getting drugged.
So y'all know I've been also kind of behind the scenes on the news side of this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've been, of course, monitoring how the narratives play out, mm-hmm. like how things get... how information gets disseminated from Centerpoint and then how it gets filtered through the media, right?
Yeah.
And their focus, this has fascinated me a little bit, how their focus has been on how many, you know, this exact point that the commenter is making, how many they've restored. And then the news going like, hey, you know what, though?
That's still a million short.
It's still a million people who ain't got power. We going to say, we going to write that.
Yeah.
That's the point that we going to broadcast instead of, you know, putting out these pom-poms and everything
else. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But speaking of pom-poms,
mm-hmm.
we do have Texans training camp. We're going to be there a week from today, broadcast, and I'm excited about it. But I got these Texans training camp thoughts that I want to run by you
mm-hmm.
and see what the loopholes think of them. So let's start with the top.
Yeah.
I feel like this is pretty obvious, but I want to make the point and a side point from it.
Mm-hmm.
The wide receivers, I feel like early on, because you know early on in training camp, there's not a whole lot of hitting, and it's not, you're not going to see a lot in the trenches and all of that. You are going to be able to see, I think, more specifically and on displayed up front, how good this wide receiving core is.
Mm-hmm.
With Stephon Diggs added into the mix, with Nico Collins emerging as a star within his own right, with Tank Dell not so quietly being the one that a lot of us are even more excited about with those two guys already on the team.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud, enough said.
Yeah.
I think the wide receivers are going to steal the show early, but I'm predicting an early camp favorite. I don't know. I'm assuming he's going to make the team, but an early camp favorite.
And that is?
Ben Skowronek.
Oh, I agree with both of those things.
Ben Skowronek. But this is my point. Mm-hmm. We're going to have all of that star power. We're going to be wowed by what CJ Stroud's doing with Stephon Diggs, with Nico Collins, with Tank Dell.
Yeah.
Hell, John Metchie might even be getting into the mix making plays.
He might be a favorite.
Noah Brown's probably going to be out there making plays. All of these guys whose names we really know going to be out there doing their thing.
Yeah.
And Ben Skowronek is going to be a campaign.
I agree with both those. On the first point, it makes total sense. I mean, that's what happened. After the, I believe it was the first or second day of camp, I remember coming in the next day, sitting right here going, hey, man, Tank Dell is legit. I mean, just watching him run his routes, I was like, this dude can get open. No hitting yet, no nothing. So I think that's accurate on that. And Ben Skowronek, he's been kind of not even really low-key because I've been saying it a lot, but just kind of outside of a few mentions here and there, I think he's kind of being overlooked a little bit. They brought him in for a reason, man. They have a pretty deep receiving core.
Dude,
already.
I cannot wait, honestly, and I'm telling on myself a little bit about the Ben Skowronek thing because he might be one of my favorites too. I'm fascinated to see all the different ways that they might use him, from special teams to all of the potential gadget plays that he could be a part of.
Blocking.
And blocking as well. Like, he's a guy who can do some things, obviously, with the ball and without the ball that I think are going to be super valuable
I'm
for
with
the
you
team.
100% on both those.
All right, so another one. Kind of related.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like we've talked enough about the Stephon Diggs versus Derek Stingley battles that we're going to get at training camp.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I think, really the only time we're really going to see it at this kind of level. Once the season gets going, you're not going to see a whole ton of it. And we have less access to practice during the season than we do at training camp. So the specifically, Stephon Diggs and Derek Stingley battles is one of the things that I'm going to be, when I go over there to look at something specific, that's what I want to watch.
You're right, but I'm going to be looking at something else because we saw it during minicamp. When I saw Kamari Lassiter one-on-one with Stephon Diggs a couple of times at minicamp, I was like, all right, maybe that 4-6, you know, is 4-5 on the field, you know, or 4-4 on the field.
Yeah.
I want to see Lassiter in the same vein.
So since you mentioned him,
mm-hmm.
a prediction. This is not just a training camp thought, but a training camp prediction. Maybe call it a post-training camp prediction. Kamari Lassiter wins that job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm calling my shot now.
Yeah.
Kamari Lassiter wins that job.
Number two?
Number two.
Mm.
Start not nickel corner, not slot, not inside.
Yeah.
Kamari Lassiter wins the job opposite Derek Stingley, number two corner, and we ride.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
I'm with you on that one, too. And the reason is they know what they have. They put him on the field as the number two in minicamp without blinking. I mean, they didn't put Okuda out there. They didn't put Henderson out there. Hey, let's bring him along slowly. Let him learn a little bit. No, they put Lassiter out there at minicamp. So I'm with you. I think that he's just going to take the next step and win that job.
Yeah, I think that there's been way too much, really, on all the skepticism on all the corners.
Yeah.
From Lassiter and the speed to the bust. Obviously, us knowing about those other guys being first round bust between Okuda and CJ Henderson. I feel like all of it is fair and also overplayed.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the roles that you're asking them to do, if Derek Stingley gets hurt, then we're having a different kind of conversation, right?
Yeah.
But as either number two corner and or depth
mm-hmm.
at corner, I think you've got some decent options between Lassiter and even Jeff Okuda and CJ Henderson not being asked to be the guy necessarily that they were drafted to be, but to be the other guy. I don't see why any of those guys can't at least do for you, if they're not as good as Steven Nelson, at least do for you, function as Steven Nelson did.
Yeah, I think Okuda especially. I think, you know, he's been quote-unquote a bust, or certainly not living up to expectations of where he was drafted. But he, in a third position, in a third role, I think that might be where he thrives, and that might be all they want him to do.
We'll do some more of these later on in the show. I got one more for you before we get out of here.
Yeah.
I think Cade Stover and Dalton Schultz
mm-hmm.
are going to be attached at the hip. Dalton Schultz, what I've learned about him mm-hmm. is that he is very much a teacher and mentor and cerebral guy in the locker room, kind of underrated. People don't talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
But he functions in that way. And Cade Stover, we can't forget, is still new to the position.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, is a sponge.
Yeah.
Is the, you know, a worker bee, if you will, and the type that is going to want to soak up as much information from Dalton Schultz as he possibly can. And I do believe that that is actually going to manifest itself in him being a factor for the Texans this season as a rookie.
Yeah, and he's another one that even, you know, you can overplay minicamp. Trust me, we all know. But certainly seem to be fitting that role in minicamp, and I think they have high hopes for him.
Those are the training camp thoughts. We will share some more later on in the show. But coming up next, Team USA beat Canada last night in an exhibition game. I'm going to tell you how a Rockets player poked the bear, and also a signing in the AFC South, a pretty notable one too at that. So that's coming up next on In the Loop.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
So Team USA took down Canada in an exhibition game last night. Beat them by about 14 points. 86-72 was the final score.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a pretty prominent Canadian that actually plays for the Houston Rockets. And we're curious if this guy's personality and this guy's constant willingness to fan the flames might have done exactly that with Team USA.
Yeah.
Did one Dylan Brooks poke the bear that is Team USA? You decide.
Your personal view about what you face not only Wednesday but when you get to Paris and probably see the United States in a knockout round.
Yeah, but they gotta learn. They gotta play defense. Every team that has to play just has to learn. It's the scout against us. And we were just gonna play our game and make adjustments going.
Okay, so Dylan Brooks was asked, you know, about what do you gotta do against Team USA? He said, well, they gotta play defense. Bro. Oh, I said it again. Bro, They did.
They did. They did.
You scored 72 points.
And let's be fair. Let's be fair. The Canadians have a more impressive starting five than I realized until I actually watched them.
No,
play.
They're a metal favorite.
Yeah, no, I just had not thought much about it.
Yeah.
But then you look out there and they start Jamal Murray, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, RJ Barrett, Dylan Brooks, and Dwight Powell.
Yeah.
Like, that is a
That's
a decent enough lineup.
They're going to be in the hunt for a medal.
They got Kelly Olynyk coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Like, that is a decent squad. So I understand the confidence. But, man, you talk about Team USA.
72 points.
and Dylan Brooks, of all people, should know what he's up against because, well, he has to guard all of the guys that are being featured here on this team.
Yeah.
You know, on a nightly basis. He might be guarding Devin Booker, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Drew Holiday, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, like all the guys that are on, Jason Tatum, everybody's on this team.
Yeah.
He should know damn well, what, they got to play defense against you?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Here's the thing, too. I get that Dylan Brooks, this is how he plays his best. You know, by poking the bear, as you put it, by staring down people during the warm-up line and all that. He really does need to pick his spots. Tap the brakes just a little bit.
It's not in him.
It's
not in him, Lopez. It's not in him.
He's looking bad.
He only knows one way.
And it doesn't work.
Well,
I mean, it works some, but it's not working now.
I think it works for him or in his...
His best.
I think he gets something out of it. And if that's the case, or if at least he thinks so, I think it maybe is worth it to him, especially if he doesn't care about the other side of it.
They are searching out Dylan Brooks, Team USA. Remember how, like, the old Dream Team, was it Michael was trying to prove a point to some college player in one of those games and destroyed him?
You mean Michael Jordan had taken something personally?
Yes, and just destroyed this poor fool, and I wish I could remember who it was. The Team USA is doing that. Just tapped the... And then you see what he did after the game. They just lost by, 14, 16 points, whatever it was. Scored 72 points. So they're interviewing all the the Team USA players. And so there's, the players, then a little space, and then there's a rope where the cameras are. He went between the rope and the players. Devin Booker and others, too. They just showed the Devin Booker walking in front of between them and the cameras, just stone-faced.
He is anti-American.
Just tap the brakes a little bit, Dylan.
So the players around the league legitimately dislike him.
I hate him.
Like, they do not like him.
Yeah.
And he, to his credit, legitimately does not seem to care.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you got to at least respect the lack of giving a bleep, and I do, but I do
to a point.
I do also question the strategy.
Yeah, to a point.
I question the strategy.
Like, if you want to stand there, stone faced, staring down LeBron in the warm up line in whatever, May, in a regular season game, okay, but not then, man. Not like that. Just tap it a little bit.
Yeah, it's gonna get old quick.
Yes.
So, I actually enjoyed having Dylan Brooks on the Rockets last year more than I thought.
Yeah.
I was not.
I did too. No, I gave him a lot of credit.
I was not in favor of that signing when they did it.
Yeah.
But as it went on, I did not hate having him on the team. But I do have a Rockets prediction for y'all.
Yeah.
I think Amen Thompson, some combination of Amen Thompson and Tari Eason are actually going to take minutes away from Dylan Brooks.
Could see it.
And I feel like he's a short timer here.
Yeah.
Like, I could see him being a part of a deal. I understand that Ime Udoka likes a lot of these things that we're maybe looking at, kind of giving the side eye to.
Yeah.
But his grit and kind of attitude and everything actually works for Udoka. But in terms of, like, players that are ascending and players that the Rockets need to be prioritizing, not just their development, but their actual production and what they can offer you on the basketball court.
Yeah.
Like, I think that Amen Thompson and Tari Eason have a chance to, this upcoming year, be better defensive players than Dylan Brooks is today. So I even question how long Dylan Brooks will even be a Houston Rocket.
No, I think that's absolutely fair. Kind of a transitional guy. You know, getting Udoka going on his new culture and the way he does things. and then moving on.
The biggest challenge for the Rockets this year, I feel like, is going to be figuring out how to divvy up these minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They got all these young guys. They also got these two guys, these older veterans. Expensive veterans that they paid and expect to play. Figuring out, it will be interesting watching them figuring out how to navigate and divvy up these minutes next year between now this core seven, because I think Reed Shepherd is going to force the issue as well.
Oh, he's going to get on the field. No, it's not going to be a direct correlation to
They're going to have to put him on the court. Yeah. Like, they're going to definitely have to put him on the court because he does a thing that nobody else really on the team can do.
Yeah. And while it's not a direct correlation to Dylan Brooks, it is minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So a little bit of breaking news in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Does it scare you at all that the Titans have signed Jamal Adams? Safety fame.
Yeah.
Jamal Adams. I will say this.
So a team in the AFC South signed a safety. Huh.
A little interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
What's
not,
Justin Simmons up to?
Wait a minute. I was going to say, I know you're not suggesting that the Texans themselves actually had been interested in Jamal Adams.
No, I'm saying they
signed a safety.
You got
your eyes on somebody else.
Yes.
I'm actually laughing that they didn't sign Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
If they was interested in safety.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I felt like it was a better one out there.
Yeah.
What if Justin Simmons is waiting on a better opportunity and the Titans just ain't it?
Like I said, AFC South team signs a safety.
This doesn't do anything for you at all in terms of the Titans getting better or how much you might have to worry about them. I do feel like they are the biggest afterthought in the division, despite the fact that they have done some things this offseason.
It doesn't scare me, as you put it, but I am fascinated. They think they're acting like they're going to be a contender. They act like they're going to be a contender. I mean, is it something they have a secret? You know, they know something that nobody else does? Because they're adding players. They're signing free agents. They got a new defensive coordinator. They brought in a couple cornerbacks. And now the safety. They're talking up Will Levis. They are acting like a contender. Doesn't scare me, but it is fascinating.
I don't believe in what they're doing, per se.
Right.
But I can't knock them for doing it. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. I can at least respect the effort, even if once I look at it and by the end of it, I'm like, you know what? This still doesn't really do a whole lot for me. Now, I like their receiving core, and I think Will Levis, at the very least, has the right attitude, kind of like that gamer, I'm just going to go out there and do my thing, kind of sling it mentality. But I don't believe in it fully. But you think about this Jamal Adams signing. I don't believe in that either. But their secondary was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they have made the moves, you know, acquiring Legarius Sneed, now signing Jamal Adams. Like, they are, at the very least, trying to address the fact that they are the AFC South afterthought. The AFC South is getting better, and they can't afford to, say, do what Indianapolis did, which was stand pat and re-up your own. No, you're not on that level. You're not good enough.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be,
I cannot wait, honestly, and I'm telling on myself a little bit about the Ben Skowronek thing, because he might be one of my favorites too. I'm fascinated to see all the different ways that they might use him, from special teams to all of the potential gadget plays that he could be a part of,
blocking
and blocking as well. Like, he's a guy who can do some things, obviously, with the ball and without the ball, that I think are going to be super valuable.
I'm
with
you 100% on both those.
All right, so another one, kind of related. I don't feel like we talked enough about the Stephon Diggs versus Derek Stingley battles that we're going to get at training camp.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I think, really the only time we're really going to see it at this kind of level. Once the season gets going, you're not going to see a whole ton of it. And we have less access to practice during the season than we do at training camp. So the specifically, Stephon Diggs and Derek Stingley battles is one of the things that I'm going to be, when I go over there to look at something specific, that's what I want to watch.
You're right, but I'm going to be looking at something else, because we saw it during minicamp. When I saw Kamari Lassiter one-on-one with Stephon Diggs a couple of times at minicamp, I was like, all right, maybe that 4-6, you know, is 4-5 on the field, you know, or 4-4 on the field.
Yeah.
I want to see Lassiter in the same vein.
So, since you mentioned him, a prediction. This is not just a training camp thought, but a training camp prediction. Maybe call it a post-training camp prediction. Kamari Lassiter wins that job. Like, I'm calling my shot now.
Yeah.
Kamari Lassiter wins that job.
Number two?
Number two. Start not nickel corner, not slot, not inside.
Yeah.
Kamari Lassiter wins the job opposite Derek Stingley, number two corner, and we ride.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
I'm with you on that one, too. And the reason is they know what they have. They put him on the field as the number two in minicamp without blinking. I mean, they didn't put Okuda out there. They didn't put Henderson out there. Hey, let's bring him along slowly, let him learn a little bit. No, they put Lassiter out there at minicamp. So I'm with you. I think that he's just going to take the next step and win that job.
Yeah, I think that there's been way too much, really, on all the skepticism on all the corners.
Yeah.
From Lassiter and the speed to the bust. Obviously, us knowing about those other guys being first-round busts between Okuda and CJ Henderson. I feel like all of it is fair and also overplayed. Because for the roles that you're asking them to do, if Derek Stingley gets hurt, then we're having a different kind of conversation, right?
Yeah.
But as either number two corner and or depth at corner, I think you've got some decent options between Lassiter and even Jeff Okuda and CJ Henderson not being asked to be the guy necessarily that they were drafted to be, but to be the other guy. I don't see why any of those guys can't at least do for you, if they're not as good as Steven Nelson, at least do for you, function as Steven Nelson did.
Yeah, I think Okuda especially. I think, you know, he's been quote-unquote a bust, or certainly not living up to expectations of where he was drafted. But he, in a third position, in a third role, I think that might be where he thrives, and that might be all they want him to do.
We'll do some more of these later on in the show. I got one more for you before we get out of here.
Yeah.
I think Kay Stover and Dalton Schultz are going to be attached at the hip. Dalton Schultz, what I've learned about him is that he is very much a teacher and mentor and cerebral guy in the locker room, kind of underrated. People don't talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
But he functions in that way. And Kay Stover, we can't forget,
is still new to the position. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, is a sponge.
Yeah.
Is the, you know, a worker bee, if you will, and the type that is going to want to soak up as much information from Dalton Schultz as he possibly can. And I do believe that that is actually going to manifest itself in him being a factor for the Texans this season as a rookie.
Yeah, and he's another one that even, you know, you can overplay minicamp. Trust me, we all know. But certainly seemed to be fitting that role in minicamp, and I think they have high hopes for him.
Those are the training camp thoughts. We will share some more later on in the show. But coming up next, Team USA beat Canada last night in an exhibition game. I'm going to tell you how a Rockets player poked the bear, and also a signing in the AFC South, a pretty notable one too at that. So that's coming up next on In the Loop.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
So Team USA took down Canada in an exhibition game last night. Beat them by about 14 points. 86-72 was the final score.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a pretty prominent Canadian that actually plays for the Houston Rockets. And we're curious if this guy's personality and this guy's constant willingness to fan the flames might have done exactly that with Team USA. Did one Dylan Brooks poke the bear that is Team USA? You decide.
Your personal view about what you face not only Wednesday but when you get to Paris and probably see the United States in the knockout round.
Yeah, but they got to learn. They got to play defense. Every team that has to play against us has to learn. It's the scout against us. And we were just going to play our game and make adjustments going.
Okay, so Dylan Brooks was asked, you know, about, you know, what do you got to do against Team USA? He said, well, they got to play defense. Bro. Oh, I said it again, bro. They did.
They did. They did.
You scored 72 points.
And let's be fair. Let's be fair. The Canadians have a more impressive starting five than I realized until I actually watched them.
No,
play.
They're a medal favorite.
Yeah, no. I just had not thought much about it.
Yeah.
But then you look out there and they start Jamal Murray, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
RJ Barrett, Dylan Brooks, and Dwight Powell.
Yeah.
Like, that is a That's a decent enough lineup. No.
They're going to be in the hunt for a medal.
They got Kelly Olynyk coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Like, that is a decent squad. So, I understand the confidence. But, man, you talk about Team USA.
72 points.
and Dylan Brooks, of all people, should know what he's up against because, well, he has to guard all of the guys that are being featured here on this team.
Yeah.
You know, on a nightly basis, he might be guarding Devin Booker, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Drew Holiday, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, like all the guys that are on, Jason Tatum, everybody that's on this team.
Yeah.
He should know damn well, what, they got to play defense against you?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Here's the thing, too. I get that Dylan Brooks, this is how he plays his best. You know, by poking the bear, as you put it, by staring down people during the warm-up line and all that, he really does need to pick his spots. Tap the brakes just a little bit.
It's not in him.
It's
not in him, Lopez. It's not in him.
He's looking bad.
He only knows one way.
And it doesn't work.
Well,
I mean, it works some, but it's not working now.
I think it works for him or in his...
His best.
I think he gets something out of it. And if that's the case, or if at least he thinks so, I think it maybe is worth it to him, especially if he doesn't care about the other side of it.
They are searching out Dylan Brooks, Team USA. Remember how the old Dream Team, was it Michael was trying to prove a point to some college player in one of those games and destroyed him?
You mean Michael Jordan had taken something personally?
Yes, and just destroyed this poor fool, and I wish I could remember who it was. The Team USA is doing that. Just tap the... And then you see what he did after the game. They just lost by, 14, 16 points, whatever it was. Scored 72 points. So they're interviewing all the Texans... the Team USA players. And so there's, the players, then a little space, and then there's a rope where the cameras are. He went between the rope and the players. Devin Booker and others, too. They just showed the Devin Booker walking in front of between them and the cameras, like just stone-faced.
He is anti-American.
Just tap the brakes a little bit, Dylan.
So the players around the league legitimately dislike him.
Hate him.
Like, they do not like him.
Yeah.
And he, to his credit, legitimately does not seem to care.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you got to at least respect the lack of giving a bleep. And I do. Mm-hmm. But I do.
To a point.
I do also question the strategy.
Yeah, to a point.
I question the strategy.
Like, if you want to stand there stone-faced staring down LeBron in the warm-up line in whatever, you know, May in a regular season game, okay. But not then, man. Not like that. Just tap it a little bit.
Yeah, it's gonna get old quick.
Yes.
So I actually enjoyed having Dylan Brooks on the Rockets last year more than I thought. Yeah. I was not.
I did too. No, I gave him a lot of credit.
I was not in favor of that signing when they did it.
Yeah.
But as it went on, I did not hate having him on the team. But I do have a Rockets prediction for y'all.
Yeah.
I think Amen Thompson, some combination of Amen Thompson and Tari Eason are actually going to take minutes away from Dylan Brooks.
Could see it.
And I feel like he's a short timer here.
Yeah.
Like I could see him being a part of a deal. I understand that M.A. Udoka likes a lot of these things that we're maybe looking at, kind of giving the side eye to.
Yeah.
But his grit and kind of attitude and everything actually works for Udoka. But in terms of like players that are ascending and players that the Rockets need to be prioritizing, not just their development, but their actual production and what they can offer you on the basketball court.
Yeah.
Like, I think that Amen Thompson and Tari Eason have a chance to, this upcoming year, be better defensive players than Dylan Brooks is today. So I even question how long Dylan Brooks will even be a Houston Rocket.
No, I think that's absolutely fair. Kind of a transitional guy. You know, getting Udoka going on his new culture and the new way he does things, and then moving on.
The biggest challenge for the Rockets this year, I feel like, is going to be figuring out how to divvy up these minutes. They got all these young guys. They also got these two guys, these older veterans. I shouldn't say older, but these veterans, expensive veterans that they paid and expect to play. Figuring out, it will be interesting watching them figuring out how to navigate and divvy up these minutes next year between now this core seven, because I think Reed Sheppard is going to force the issue as well.
Oh, he's going to get on the field. Now, it's not going to be a direct correlation to
they're going to have to put him on the court.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to definitely have to put him on the court because he does a thing that nobody else really on the team can do.
Yeah, yeah. And while it's not a direct correlation to Dylan Brooks, it is minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's minutes.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So a little bit of breaking news in the division. Does it scare you at all that the Titans have signed Jamal Adams? Safety fame.
Yeah.
Jamal Adams. I will say this.
So a team in the AFC South signed a safety. Huh.
A little interesting.
Yeah. Justin Simmons up to?
Wait a minute. I was going to say, I know you're not suggesting that the Texans themselves actually had been interested in Jamal Adams.
No, I'm saying they
signed a
safety.
Eyes on somebody else.
Yes.
I'm actually laughing that they didn't sign Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
If they was interested in safety.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I felt like it was a better one out there.
Yeah.
What if Justin Simmons is waiting on a better opportunity and the Titans just ain't it?
Like I said, AFC South team signs a safety.
This doesn't do anything for you at all in terms of the Titans getting better or how much you might have to worry about them. I do feel like they are the biggest afterthought in the division, despite the fact that they have done some things this offseason.
It doesn't scare me, as you put it, but I'm fascinated. They think they're acting like they're going to be a contender. They act like they're going to be a contender. I mean, is it something they have a secret? You know, they know something that nobody else does, because they're adding players, they're signing free agents, they got a new defensive coordinator, they brought in a couple of cornerbacks, and now the safety. They're talking up Will Levis. They are acting like a contender. Doesn't scare me, but it is fascinating.
I don't believe in what they're doing per se.
Right.
But I can't knock them for doing it. Does that make sense? Like, I can at least respect the effort, even if once I look at it, And by the end of it, I'm like, you know what? This still doesn't really do a whole lot for me. Now, I like their receiving core, and I think Will Levis, at the very least, has the right attitude, kind of like that gamer, I'm just going to go out there and do my thing, kind of sling it mentality. But I don't believe in it fully. But you think about this Jamal Adams signing. I don't believe in that either. But their secondary was bad. Mm-hmm. And they have made the moves, you know, acquiring Legarius Sneed, now signing Jamal Adams. Like, they are, at the very least, trying to address the fact that they are the AFC South afterthought. The AFC South is getting better, and they can't afford to, say, do what Indianapolis did, which was stand pat and re-up your own guy. No, you're not on that level. You're not good enough. You got to bring in some reinforcements.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily believe in or think that the results are going to be there, but I can't knock them for trying.
No, not at all.
It's the best way to put it. So what do you think is taking so long for the Texans to do the thing that you just suggested?
Go get
that safety. Go get Justin Simmons. I know you want him.
Yeah,
I know you want
wanted him. Petrie, they trust.
That's part of it. But I think that it's a discussion they have to be having.
Do you think it happens? What do you think the chances are that Justin Simmons is in the Texans' eyes, at least?
I generally hear things or get a good feel for things. I got no feel on this. I'm going to say 50-50.
It's just weird. Yeah. And I got to say the same.
Yeah.
Because it is weird that a player of that caliber would be available.
Yeah.
And the Texans can use him. Like,
really, really good.
Yeah.
He's really good.
You think so?
Really, really good.
He's really good. And then and you absolutely have these question marks at the position.
And he's a Mahomes killer.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something to keep in mind. But you got these questions that cannot be avoided with Jimmy Ward and the health issues over the last couple of years. Love Jimmy Ward and his leadership and his background with D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
But you do have to consider the injury history, how that played out last year.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why I don't think he couldn't play with Jalen Petrie or that Jalen Petrie should really even factor into the decision on whether you pursue Justin Simmons. I feel like that's just a natural fit, and everybody else kind of gets in where they fit in around that.
If it's an upgrade, it's an upgrade.
Yeah, man. That is the one thing. Like, watching the Titans do this does not scare me. Mm-hmm. I respect it, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And kind of wish the Texans would be going in the same direction.
Yeah.
So we'll see. He's John Lopez. I'm Brandon Scott here with Figgy Fig on In the Loop. Coming up next, we've got an Astros trade rumor. It's an expensive one. So would you do it? That's next. So a little bit of breaking news in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Does it scare you at all that the Titans have signed Jamal Adams? Safety fame.
Yeah.
Jamal Adams. I will say this.
So a team in the AFC South signed a safety. Huh.
A little interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
what's
not,
Justin Simmons up to?
Wait a minute. I was going to say, I know you're not suggesting that the Texans themselves actually had been interested in Jamal Adams.
No, I'm saying they
signed a
safety. You got
your eyes on somebody else.
Yes.
I'm actually laughing that they didn't sign Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
If they was interested in safety.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I felt like it was a better one out there.
Yeah.
What if Justin Simmons is waiting on a better opportunity and the Titans just ain't it?
Like I said, AFC South team signs a safety.
This doesn't do anything for you at all in terms of the Titans getting better or how much you might have to worry about them. I do feel like they are the biggest afterthought in the division, despite the fact that they have done some things this offseason.
It doesn't scare me, as you put it, but I'm fascinated. They think they're acting like they're going to be a contender. They act like they're going to be a contender. I mean, is it something they have a secret? You know, they know something that nobody else does? Because they're adding players. They're signing free agents. They got a new defensive coordinator. They brought in a couple cornerbacks. And now the safety. They're talking up Will Levis. They are acting like a contender. Doesn't scare me, but it is fascinating.
I don't believe in what they're doing, per se.
Right.
But I can't knock them for doing it. Does that make sense? Like, I can at least respect the effort, even if once I look at it and by the end of it, I'm like, you know what? This still doesn't really do a whole lot for me. Now, I like their receiving core, and I think Will Levis, at the very least, has the right attitude, kind of like that gamer. I'm just going to go out there and do my thing, kind of sling it mentality. But I don't believe in it fully. But you think about this Jamal Adams signing. I don't believe in that either. But their secondary was bad. Mm-hmm. And they have made the moves, you know, acquiring Legarius Sneed, now signing Jamal Adams. Like, they are, at the very least, trying to address the fact that they are the AFC South afterthought. The AFC South is getting better, and they can't afford to say do what Indianapolis did, which was stand pat and re-up your own guy. No, you're not on that level. You're not good enough. You got to bring in some reinforcements.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily believe in or think that the results are going to be there, but I can't knock them for trying.
No, not at all.
It's the best way to put it. So what do you think is taking so long for the Texans to do the thing that you just suggested?
Yeah.
Go get that safety. Go get Justin Simmons. I know you want him.
Yeah,
I know you want
him. Petrie, they trust.
That's part of it. But I think that it's a discussion they have to be having.
Do you think it happens? What do you think the chances are that Justin Simmons is in the Texans' eyes, at least?
I generally hear things or get a good feel for things. I got no feel on this. I've got no feel on this. I'm going to say 50-50.
It's just weird. Yeah. And I got to say the same.
Yeah.
Because it is weird that a player of that caliber would be available.
Yeah.
And the Texans can use him. Like,
really, really good.
Yeah.
He's really good.
You think so?
Really, really good.
He's really good. And then and you absolutely have these question marks at the position.
And he's a Mahomes killer.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something to keep in mind. But you got these questions that cannot be avoided with Jimmy Ward and the health issues over the last couple of years. Love Jimmy Ward and his leadership and his background with D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
But you do have to consider the injury history, how that played out last year.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why I don't think he couldn't play with Jalen Petrie or that Jalen Petrie should really even factor into the decision on whether you pursue Justin Simmons. I feel like that's just a natural fit, and everybody else kind of gets in where they fit upgrade, in around
that. If it's an upgrade, it's an upgrade.
Yeah, man. That is the one thing. Like, watching the Titans do this does not scare me. Mm-hmm. I respect it, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And kind of wish the Texans would be going in the same direction.
Yeah.
So we'll see. He's John Lopez. I'm Brandon Scott here with Figgy Fig on In the Loop. Coming up next, we've got an Astros trade rumor. It's an expensive one. So would you do it? That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.